Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9, let me lie. Feline, with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Say it took yesterday. I wouldn't even say it took 3 days. How long did it take for the buzz of acquiring Carlos Correa and Jesus Sanchez to dissipate? Did it last until we had a base running error from Sanchez? Did it go until we thought Peña was hurt again? Of course, he came back. Turns out it was very minor. He did get pulled out of a game. I kind of equate like the deadline or any acquisition to like the draft, because you get the buzz of, okay, my team made a move. But with the draft, now you have to wait months to see all the guys you're excited about at least play kind of real football. They get mini camps and stuff, rookie camps, but you see them in pads and out there. And that in starting in July, you're like, okay, now I know that Arontari Series is better than I thought. Depending on who you're rooting for. Oh, look. Oh, no. This guy can't play. Those things start to pop up in training camp. With the trade deadline, it's like, yes, we got Carlos. We got Jesus Sanchez. And then reality hits. We got games to play. And the team still loses 3 in a row. So did it last a whole game? Did it get you to Saturday before you realize this team still has problems? And when you have a series that has Hunter Brown and Fromber going and you get swept, that's tough. That's a tough look for your best two pitchers to go, and you couldn't scratch out a win. Now, you have the extra inning loss, but what happened yesterday with Fromber, and I saw it get people to react like, oh, this is old Fromber. This is why he's not going to get re-signed. Fromber can't do this. He's allowed one blow-up. I mean, he had gone, 14 straight starts when he was nails. He's allowed one of these. So I'm not going to crush Fromber. You're desperate for a win. You're trying to avoid getting swept. He didn't get it done. And I got to say, Sean, the combo of the Saturday night sleeping pill because you can't go to sleep and the 10:35 first pitch is a tough combo to fight. It's tough. And this is a reference to me, not Fromber. I don't know what he does on a Saturday night before a start.
Say, probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah, but for me, I was like, you know what? I can't sleep. Let me pop a sleeping pill. It's just one. I ain't got a problem, I swear.
It's Saturday?
Yeah. I'm not going anywhere. Let me pop a sleeping pill and get myself to sleep. I woke up in enough time, but the sleeping pill doesn't wear off just because you woke up. So I'm watching the game, and okay, Fromber's going pretty good. He had a little trouble early, but he found a way to get out of it, induced a double play. So, okay, we're good. I got to admit, I fell asleep right before the fourth inning. When it's scoreless, I wake up, and it's 6-1. I wake up about the I think I woke up in a 6, so I wasn't gone for a long time. But I was out. I couldn't fight the sleeping pill and, you know, watching baseball on a Sunday morning. Those two combined to knock me out. So I missed the disaster that was that fourth inning from Fromber. I went back and watched, and it was just errors from everyone. Fromber, you've got Yiner Diaz. You've got Fromber cutting off Carlos Correa to keep him from making a play on the ball. And then Fromber botches another opportunity. We've known for a while that Fromber's not good in the field. That all showed up in that one inning in multiple ways. And it led to the Red Sox getting a big crooked number up there and walking away with the sweep. So I thought we could get to Carlos Correa's return before all the realities of a pennant race and the team not being whole and the pitchers not being around. I thought we could get through about a 9-game stretch before we actually started to, you know, realize that, yeah, it's still going to be a race.
You thought we were going to get 9 straight days of good vibes?
I didn't think we'd win all 9, but I thought we could get through a weekend. And then the Marlins series, it turns out the Marlins are one of the hottest teams in baseball. So good luck today, Astros. But I thought we could get through that before we start to look at the reality of the situation. That with the Mariners taking, 2 out of 3 from the Rangers? Was it 2 out of 3 or 3 or 4? 2 out of 3 from the Rangers. They now are only 2.5 games back. Maybe it's 3 out of 4 now that I think about it. But either way, they're only 2.5 games back. The Rangers aren't that far behind. And you're hoping and praying Arrigetti's going to come back and be whole. And by the way, when Arrigetti left, he wasn't great. He might have had one good start and one bad start, but he wasn't great. So I get that he's supposed to be the great savior to have a solid number 3 in this rotation, but I'd like to see him prove it. I don't quite understand this assumption that he's just going to come back and be locked down. He started, what is it now, 20-plus games in the major leagues. The track record ain't great. So I'd be far more comfortable if it was Javier or even Luis Garcia closer to returning. But that's the lot we have, that Arrigetti is the next one to be back. And so a lot of hopes are being pinned on a guy who is still young or new to his to this spot. He hasn't pitched a lot, and he certainly hasn't been depended on in the way that he will be. He's got to come in and be really good because we're on fumes right now when it comes to the starting rotation. And he was a couple starts, ERA over 5 in his short tenure as an active player this year. And then you go back to last year, 7-13, ERA over 4.5. I'm just not quite sure why everyone's looking at him and going, you know what? He's going to save us. I get the desperation of wanting him back because you expect him to be better than Jason Alexander or Colton Gordon or whoever has to go. At a time, it was Ryan Gusto. Now he's a Marlin. And it was pointed out by people on the Marlins side that the Marlins are so deep that Ryan Gusto won't be pitching in the rotation. That's where they feel like their arms are. The Astros were depending on that guy, and he went there in the Jesus Sanchez trade. So it's tough. Those 3 games are tough. You know, watch Alex Bregman make play after play at third. And Carlos was fine at third. It's not a comp or comparison between the two because they were both fine. But there are a couple of plays where he casually was in foul territory and just threw out Christian Walker, and the announcers talked about, yeah, he's smart. He knows who the base runner is, so he can set his feet, take some time, and then gun Christian Walker out. And that's the Alex Bregman we remember, particularly last year when he won a gold glove. But you needed to get 2 when you have those 2 guys on the mound, Fromber and Hunter Brown. It just didn't get done. And can't blame them completely. The offense wasn't what you would want either. So all around a tough series. You can point at multiple guys for why it happened. But now you go to Florida. You're in Miami with a team who's playing great baseball, 31-15 over their last 46 to get back to .500. That's the best that building, that city has felt about the Marlins in a long time. And they were supposed to be sellers they did trade Sanchez to the Astros, but they were trying to deal Alcantara. There are multiple ways to pronounce it now. I've always just stuck with Alcantara because sometimes I don't want to roll an R or mess with the back half of his last name, but I've heard it said different ways now. We'll see what the likes of Jeff Blum say when Alcantara is on the mound. This
Sandy.
You think he just sticks with Sandy?
Big Al.
I think Todd Callis will throw that last name out there. But maybe Jeff. I think Jeff will try.
He'll do it once.
Yeah, does Alcantara have a nickname that he can lean on? I can
the
look
at Sandman strikes out another one.
No, you only do that if you're the Marlins. Oh, yeah. If you're the Marlins guy. Jeff can't say it with that type of verve. if Alcantara is on a run striking out Astros, he can't do that. But he will be one of the guys in the rotation.
Putting the Astros offense asleep.
Speaking of, the Sandman on Netflix, not bad.
I have no idea.
It's a Neil Gaiman's an author. He writes a lot. He writes a lot about fantasy, sci-fi stuff. They turned it into a TV show for two seasons. It's fine. I've watched season one. Pretty good. Season two I haven't gotten to yet, so we'll see. But that's an actual Sandman who he's the Lord of Dreams in that one. I don't need Alcantara putting the Astros to sleep. I mean, enough pitchers have done that over the course of the – particularly with runners in scoring position. Like, they get guys on base. And then the guy who has to drive them in gets put to sleep.
I was going to say, Criswell did that on Friday.
Yeah, so they get snuffed quite a bit by guys who are trying to keep a rally from beginning. That's been their problem. Not getting traffic on the base paths. It's their inability to drive in those runs, particularly when they're in scoring position. So let's try to avoid that in this series against the hottest team in baseball. Not a great time to play the Marlins, particularly when you are one of the coldest teams in baseball, excluding the two games against the Nationals. The Astros have gone about 3 weeks of playing bad baseball, at least in terms of winning games. I mean, the quality of the baseball you can determine. But winning baseball games, which matters, they have not done a lot of that. I mean, yeah,
honestly, I'd rather them be playing terrible baseball and winning all these
they
games.
They have all the Jesus Sanchez and Altuve base running errors you want, as long as it follows up with a three-run home run. I don't care. I don't care about that. But it'll be Alcantara tonight against Jason Alexander.
The Sandman.
No.
Versus Costanza.
I wish it could be – if it was Savannah Bananas baseball, it would get announced like that. But I don't know that it will be tonight.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I didn't know the Portland Pickles were like a sort of version of the Savannah Bananas because what happened over the weekend for them is I think it was a plant. At least my conspiracy brain thinks it was a plant. But they – brought in a fan from the crowd at random, we'll see, and then he hits a home run, and then they sign him to a one-day contract. That feels like a plant to me, but they're treating it as a random occurrence. I forgot the guy's name, but they just pull him out of the stands.
He
takes the pitcher deep.
Like in a real game.
Real game. That's what they're saying. Was it more Chan Ho Park grooving something to Cal Ripken for a bit? And then they signed the guy? Maybe.
A guy who probably is already on the team, but no one knows what a Portland Pickle looks like.
Yeah, for most of us, we don't know who a Portland Pickle is. Maybe, but at least the current narrative is this guy is not anything but a random fan.
I will say it's not the most insane thing that someone could hit.
A home run.
Yeah, like if they just randomly picked a guy who played like D2 ball.
Sure.
It's not insane that this guy hits a home run. He's like relatively young.
Yeah, he's a pretty young guy. He had a, I don't know from what year, but he had like one of those all-star jerseys from one of the, I don't know, whatever all-star game it was. He had one of those and they just threw a Portland Pickle ball boy jersey on him, or bat boy, excuse me, jersey on him. And he went out there, swung away. Took the pitcher deep, which, if it wasn't a bit, is very embarrassing. And that guy who should lose a spot in the active roster.
Yeah,
if you pull a guy out of the stands and he just takes you deep, you gotta be off the team.
That's the are they like the Savannah Bananas where they're not like competitive?
They're a collegiate summer baseball team, whatever that means. They play in the West Coast League.
Okay, I was gonna ask, do they play in a league?
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty tough for that's actually the like sad story.
Everyone's celebrating the guy who hit the home run, but what about the pitcher? who gave up the home run. Who
it's like, not only am I pitching to the Portland Pickles, I got taken deep off of a guy who walked in, stumbled, had two Miller Lights during the first inning.
Kid looks, he looked pretty young. I don't even know if he was old enough to drink it legally. I'm not saying it couldn't have happened either way. But yeah, so that was my baseball weekend. Falling asleep during Fromber's disaster of a fourth inning, catching wind of a Portland Pickle, hitting a home run, and then signing a one-day contract. If he can hit a home run, maybe give him a 10-day. I don't know if that's not a baseball thing, that's a basketball thing, but maybe.
Well, yeah, it was a one-day contract.
Yeah, what's that mean? Does he get to play? Or
the Portland Pickles. Yeah. Like, I could probably play for you. If I can hit a home run, I can maybe play for you.
Yeah, I don't know what a one-day does. Does it simply get him a uniform and he takes batting practice and doesn't get put in the lineup? But give me a 10-day. Why not? What else are you guys doing? You're letting me come out and hit. You might as well just give me an actual roster spot. That's the point.
Yeah,
I mean, how ridiculous. Like, no, we draw the line at actually giving you a roster spot. Yeah, let me come in and hit in what you were staging as a competitive baseball game. All right, we move on. The Texans are in West Virginia. Get ready for a lot of man out of water type of tweets. This isn't like Texas. A lot of stuff will be coming. Mm-hmm. A lot of content will be coming your way of that. Bunch of dudes talking about how West Virginia is different from Texas. Who would have thought?
How do you talk about the differences between West Virginia and either where these guys are from or Houston?
Without insulting West Virginia?
Yeah, without playing into some hardful stereotypes about the West Virginian.
You talk about the landscape, right? Like, if there's a lot of trees, much greener than...
Wow, there's a hill.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of those in Houston.
Stuff like that.
Okay.
You don't talk about the people very much unless you say they're very nice.
Will someone wear overalls at some point? Will a Texans player wear overalls, be photographed wearing overalls?
I don't know. That's usually do we got a bunch of jokesters on the team? I don't know their personalities, really. I can see, like, we know a veteran, like Vince Wilfork years ago, came in, like, overalls with no shirt on.
Will Moonshine be mentioned?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. It's hard to, like, what's the thing to talk about with West Virginia that isn't
Mountaineer,
the plight of the Appalachian people?
Don't mention coal mining in any way.
Hatfield McCoys, probably stay away from.
Yeah, the wonderful whites of West Virginia, maybe stay away from that. If you haven't seen the docs, that's probably a real reason to stay away from that. Maybe you mentioned Mountaineer football. You talk about Bob Huggins or something. I don't know.
Rich Rod.
Yeah, Rich Rod being back. Yeah, like, maybe that's what you do. Tough. Maybe Geno Smith, something like that. You stick with the football stuff. Maybe you're safe. I don't think they have any West Virginia players on the team. That's a missed opportunity for the media in this town. They had a West Virginia player and it seemed like a lean on that guy.
Yeah, they should have signed a guy to a 10-day contract while they're there.
Yeah, wave one of your excess DBs and just sign a guy from West Virginia.
Stephen Bailey, what's it like being back in West Virginia?
That's right.
And in the NFL after like a decade.
Yeah. Oh, they do. They have Will Grier. No, they don't.
No, they don't.
They have that's.
You've been doing this all. They have so many other white backup quarterbacks.
Oh, it's not Will Grier. Who is it?
It's Graham Mertz.
Yeah, another Florida transfer.
Keaton that's Slovitz.
Yeah, no, it's the Florida transfer thing. Okay. That's what it is. Graham Mertz. That's what it is. Dang it,
Davis Mills. Like they're all kind of the same guy.
Yeah, but the thing that's in my head is the Florida transfer quarterback and who now is playing for the Texans. That's what it is. They do not have a Will Grier. Too bad. They could have ran Will Grier out there. Like, Will Grier's like, I'm from North Carolina.
Yeah. I went to school here.
Yeah. I don't really care about West Virginia that much. That's why I got out of there. Well, he actually found his way there. All right. We'll go to break with that. If you want to get in on the show, the number is 713-780-3776. We've got tickets to the listener appreciation party the giveaway today. We're going to do that today. We were instructed to do that at some point in the week. I just want to get out of the way. So we'll do that today. If you guys want a chance to join us for our annual listener appreciation party, stay tuned all week. Shows will be giving away those tickets. We'll do ours today. We got free reign to give them away when we want. So we'll do that before we're done today. So we'll get that to you. I've already given my... Hey, do you want to give listeners tickets away? Like, we were told, hey, you can give a couple listeners tickets that they don't have to win them on the air. I've already set mine aside just to once again, get it out of the way. So if you want to hit up Sean for his pair of tickets he can give away to a listener, you can do that.
Wait, what? As well. What'd you just sign me up for? I'm sorry.
You remember that.
I was looking for a log.
During our Saturday,
I heard, hey, hit Sean up.
During our Saturday meeting, we were told we can give a name to Joe for someone who's a listener who wants to be at the party.
Okay.
I said, if you want to hit up Sean, you can do that.
You it's can
his,
try.
It's his choice yeah, whether he puts you on the list or not. But you can do that for BMAC as well.
I don't like this. Doesn't hey, matter. Harass us.
That's why please. I'm doing it. That's why I'm doing it.
Like, did you already give yours away?
Yes, I've already given. I just said, okay. While you were looking for your log. Oh, okay. That's why you don't harass me. I've already given them away.
I also have given my
nah,
away.
Too late. You can tell he has it.
I definitely
don't let him trick
plan
you.
Plan things out a month ahead of time.
Yeah, September 5th, I believe.
I've known I've had these tickets for 2 days. Of course I already.
No, I got hit up. No, the reason I'm giving mine away is because I got hit up for, as a joke, I got hit up for Fantasy Football League spots. And I said, I can't give you those, but I can give you these. Mm. So that's what I'm doing. Yeah, we had a meeting.
Chances are I won't give you my tickets, by the way. Just
chances are.
Unless I know you. Like, sorry.
The person I'm giving them away to, I know.
Yeah, well. Exactly.
Yeah. All right, we'll go to break here. Someone wants to talk FCC. I'm going to assume that says SEC football.
Yes.
I don't know a conference named the FCC. That's more of a regulatory branch of the government. We've been able to not run afoul of that particular organization.
Somehow talking about West Virginia.
No, there was WNBA sex toy talk of a morning show. So that's what I meant. We are pretty good here. The morning show, you never know. All right, we'll get to you and anyone else when we get back. But first, I want to talk to you about Monument Chevrolet. It's a place you go to when you want a great car. Forget about all the nonsense we talk about. Now we're talking about things that actually benefit you, and that's the cars and the people over at Monument Chevrolet. So the website is monumentchevrolet.com. And once you go there, you will see all they have to offer. And the best part about them is the prices on the website do not change once you get out to the lot. They may call it a campus because of how big it is. You have your pre-owned vehicles, you have your new vehicles, and you also have vehicles for your fleet. So if you're a business owner and you want to add to your fleet, or you're just starting a business and you want a car for or a vehicle for your fleet, they have those out there for you too. And you know, it's back to school time. The district near my home starts next week. I'm sure that's happening around the city of Houston. And if you're on a budget and you're looking for a quality pre-owned vehicle, you can go there right now, particularly if it's for a new driver and you don't want to get them something really crazy, but you want to get them something that's great for them and it's affordable for you. It's back to school season at Monument Chevrolet, and that's the place you go to for pre-owned cars and trucks, 6 month, 6,000 mile warranty, limited warranty. You can shop for those vehicles at Monument Chevrolet. Just go to the lot. Or the store, excuse me, the campus. I said lot. The campus. It's on Bellway 8 and 225. So that's in Pasadena. So you go to the website, mindchevrolet.com, pick the car you want, then head out to Pasadena off of Bellway 8 and 225. And remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. Let's get to Keith, who, for some reason, has a bug. I don't want to say where it is, but he has a bug up a certain spot about Vanderbilt football. I don't know if this is specifically a Vanderbilt call, but he does want to talk SEC football, I believe. So what's up, Keith? There it is. apparently, my intro shook him a little bit, and now he's gone. We'll see if Keith wants to call back in. I love talking college football. I mean, we can talk about that particular school if you want. I don't know why you think a team with a 4.5, their win total is 4.5, is a team you want to promote as a 10-win football team. You want to be out in front of everything? That's cool. I watch a lot of Diego Pavia. It's a fun story, but fun stories generally don't win 10 games when they play in the SEC. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. They got to 6 last year.
They may have won a bowl game to get to 7.
I don't count that, but okay.
Okay. Fine. It would count towards a win total, right?
Yes, but
I mean, as far as the betting win total.
Yeah, but no, it doesn't.
It doesn't?
No.
Okay, so, yeah, you're right. It's out of 12. They only count the regular season. So it wouldn't even help if they...
Because then it's you could win a... You know, if a team has an 11.5 over-under, can win 10,
yeah.
Then win their conference championship game, then win a playoff game.
Yeah, and yeah, I don't... Yeah, yeah.
It's because there's just so many games now.
The playoffs don't count for the NFL with the win totals.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's also... it's very dumb. It's for teams that win 9 games to win a bowl game where the other team has 45 guys transferring out and be like, we had a 10-win season. It's like, congrats, dude.
Well, it would get sold that way.
That's why I don't like it. I think if you go 10-4, you didn't...
But you're so... Like, the coach...
You don't have a 10... Tom Herman, you didn't have a 10-win season in Texas. Sorry.
Well, tell it to Tom Herman. The coach will do that for multiple reasons. Of course, you're selling the fan base that we won 10 games. You're telling recruits we're a double-digit win team. You got to do what you can. Now, we got our human eyes. We can see how you got there. But 10 wins on a graphic, what do they say, Sean, about baseball? If it's a line drive or a bloop, it all counts the same. And that's how they're going to treat a 10-win season. Doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter that Cam Ward left the game in halftime, Iowa State. You beat Miami.
In 15 years.
I don't know if in 15 years we'll be talking about the results of the Pop-Tart Bowl.
Not us, but when they talk
about... On the Wikipedia page?
And then they... I don't know if that got them to 10 wins or 11 wins. Yeah, it'll be, hey, we won 11 games. And so what if the number one overall pick decided he was done with college football at halftime? Who cares? Who cares? That doesn't matter. All right, we got a couple calls that aren't named Keith. Let's go to Eric first. He wants to talk about Fromber. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I have a controversial topic. I think we should have traded Fromber during the trade deadline for an up-and-coming pitcher, maybe a rental. Just looking at him yesterday, he just breaks down easily when he gives up a run. He just, you know. So, since y'all say we're not going to sign him this year, they should have got an up-and-coming pitcher, another batter, maybe a rental to get through the rest of the season. And also, Jordan Pill is a way better director than the Kugler. I'm hanging up and listen.
This may be simply because Eric has a long-standing agenda to let us know how much he doesn't like centers. Fine. Jordan Peele was someone who really wanted to direct the upcoming movie Weapons. The story is he got rid of people on his team because they didn't secure that so he could direct it. That's how much he wanted to.
What?
Hey, tell me.
No, just we lost. I assume it's a bidding war. It's we lost a bidding war.
didn't secure.
Fired.
Yeah, I'm
out of here.
Not sure. Maybe there's a meeting that didn't go well. I don't know. But he wanted weapons, and the story, Hollywood story, you can believe it or not, is that when he found out that he wasn't getting it, he told people, "You guys got to go." Mm. So yeah, Warner Brothers got it. Bidding war and made it to $38 million. And so the question is, did Jordan Peele really fire reps? And so that's I type it in and it's right there. Let's get to Pena. We'll talk. He wants to talk some actual sports.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got distracted because he brought up Jordan Peele for some reason. But Weapons looks like it's going to be good. So maybe he had every right to be upset. Maybe not to fire the people, but whatever. Let's get to Pena. Let's talk some Texas football. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's up, Dale? Hey, college football's coming up. Can I get your thoughts on the Longhorns' upcoming season? Do you think they're actually going to make it to the national championship this year. How do you think Arch Manning is going to do? And the receiving core. I know last year their receivers had some years under their belt. This year's wide receiver core doesn't have that much, but they're well talented. So please give me your thoughts. Thank you. Have a great day.
Appreciate it. Yeah, Ryan Wingo's talented. He'll get elevated because, as you mentioned, they had older players taking opportunities. Look, they're going to be younger, but I wouldn't say they're less talented. Look, Matthew Golden's first-round pick, of course, that's tough. Isaiah Bond had injury issues, so he wasn't what he was projected to be. But when you talk about Wingo and DeAndre Moore, who's one of the older players who came on certainly the last year, they're going to be fine at receiver. We'll see if there's a go-to guy. We'll see if a Golden this year emerges. But you're gonna have talent everywhere. As far as the Arch Manning thing, that's a big question. What's Arch Manning gonna be? I have never been wowed by his physical gifts. That's fine. He doesn't have to be the greatest traits guy to be a great quarterback, particularly on the college level. Let's see. He'll have great talent around him. Maybe Arch is more, at least in year one, because I do expect him to be back for a second year as a full-time starter. Maybe Arch is more distributor his first year point guard than he is a playmaker. Look, he can move around a little bit. Sure, he's not the Quinn Ewers statue in the pocket. But do I expect Arch Manning to be the driving force? I don't. I think the talent around him, if they're going to win a national title, it's going to be everyone uplifting Arch until he's ready. Maybe Arch Manning by game 9 is what you want him to be and all the hype about him. But early on, you got to go to Ohio State. I think that's going to be about the talent of that roster. Yeah, early for him.
The way Texas is going to have to win that week one game is going to be with defense.
Yeah,
like that. And you know, luckily
they're breaking in a quarterback.
Yeah,
Ohio State's
got. Hey, remember that guy that was really good on last year's Ohio State team? If it's not Jeremiah Smith or Caleb Downs, chances are they're in the NFL now. So it is going to be two teams. It's probably going to be like a top 5 matchup. But it's going to be two teams that are completely different, or for the most part, completely different from last year's team. So, yeah, I think it's going to be, like you said, just kind of spending a lot of the year figuring out who's the cream rising to the top kind of thing. Because even Matthew Golden last year, you watch the games, he wasn't really the go-to guy for Quinn Ewers until after Ewers came back from his injury. The first part of the year, he wasn't really, not that involved, but he wasn't like the number one target where, you know, on 4th and 13, like, well, got to go to Golden. He wasn't that guy until later in the season, probably until like October. So, I mean, no, it probably will happen again like that or similar to that. I would put money on Ryan Wingo being the guy. Because he is, you know, one of those freshmen. He was one of those freshmen last year who he just had guys ahead of him. So he didn't play as much, but he showed in those limited glimpses he was just as talented. So,
yeah, there are no concerns about the talent on that Texas roster. We all know things pop up that you can't predict, whether there's a big injury someplace. But as far as what Steve Sarkisian has built, they're going to be a real contender.
There is a little bit of like just the train keeps moving kind of thing of like last season it was look how many guys they replaced that went to the NFL draft and they replaced them and all those guys now got drafted this past year. It's like at a certain point it's like this kind of what really good teams do when you make the semifinals. A lot of times you have a lot of draft picks, and if you're doing it right, you have a deep roster where you just keep elevating guys who end up getting drafted eventually.
Yeah, at this point, Texas is not a year-to-year thing. They're a program. And sure, there may be different levels to the strength of your team. You may be stronger in one position, weaker in another, depending on the year. But overall, as far as what they're doing to stack talent, just throw them in. And as it's always should be the case, but there has been a lull. We can recognize that. They're the Georgias. They're the Alabamas. They're the Ohio States. They don't have the pedigree of a national title recently like those schools do. But as far as Sean mentioned, being in the semifinal 2 years in a row and the level of talent to get back to another one, if not the final, it's there. And I know we will all have our thoughts and takes on Arch Manning, but that's a young quarterback as far as starts. I will point to the rest of that roster, unless he's an abject failure or a star. I will point to that rest of the roster, helping him get to a point where by the time the playoffs roll around, you can lean on him and not worry.
I mean, just think about like the last like five quarterbacks to win a national championship. Yeah, Will Howard last year, J.J. McCarthy with
Michigan
with handcuffs on at Michigan.
Yeah,
you have two Stetson Bennett teams like it,
and then
Mac Jones with Alabama, who was pretty good, but it wasn't
put up
like
numbers. But he had Devontae Smith.
But though. Yeah, but it's what you're talking about, where it's like he was handing off to Najee Harris and throwing it to Devontae Smith.
Yeah. As much as, and we got a question about quarterbacks coming up. We'll get to you, Julian. Hold on. We'll get to you when we come back. We'll get to a break here right now. As much as the conversation will always be about quarterbacks, we've seen, as Sean laid out over the last 5 years, you don't have to have a great star at quarterback to go
like
win a
Burrow's
title.
The last guy.
Yeah. And like five Mac Jones was drafted in the first round, but anyone who, like at least I say anyone, me, at least I saw Mac Jones in college and didn't think to myself, clear first rounder. And despite a pretty good rookie year, we have seen what Mac Jones is as a pro. You might even want to say great college player, but I will tell you that roster certainly elevated Mac Jones in his 1 year as a full-time starter. All right, Julian, we'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else got questions, we welcome you. We'll get to Julian and you when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's get to Julian here. He's got a question about college quarterbacks. Speaking of that, DJ Lagway back at practice for Florida, so no concerns for their young quarterback who is going to be up for, that whole debate about who's the best quarterback in the SEC. We just mentioned Arch Manning. DJ Lagway will be part of that. Lenora Sellers will be part of that. So let's see who Julian wants to talk about. What's up, Julian?
What it is, Jive Turkeys. Hope y'all had a good weekend. So I have two things. One is going to be relevant to you and I, and the other is just SEC. Austin Simmons is getting a lot of hype. I hadn't heard too much about him until like maybe the last couple months. Apparently he's some young stud for Ole Miss. And then also Lenoris Sellers. Who do you think will have a better year? And then now this goes to us. John, I think his name is John Beck, right? Y'all quarterback? I think he sucks. But and then we got Castellanos from Florida State. I think he sucks, too. Who do you think is going to be better out of them? Castellanos is riding checks his ass can't cash, talking about Alabama, and I feel bad for my boys. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you, Julian. The name is Carson Beck. I think he's painfully above average. I don't think he sucks. But I think it'll be a come down for most of the people who watched Cam Ward and were amazed by, oh, look at that. Miami has a super talented quarterback. Carson Beck was at one point a guy people thought would be a first-round pick. Didn't play well against SEC competition last year. Didn't got hurt late in the season. He's fully healthy, will be the starter for Miami. He'll be fine. That's my baseline. He'll be fine. Whether there's a fluctuation one way or the other, I'm sure that'll be a lot about the environment around him. I don't think he is an elevator. I think he is a guy who can rise as if the tide rises, and if the tide is low, I think he can go. He's not going to raise it and even with a Georgia team that didn't have a great wide receiver play, in fact, those guys dropped a lot of passes. He did not do himself any favors. He's got one of those faces when things aren't going well. You can tell it's not going well. It isn't like, oh, Carson's going to lead us back. It looks like, oh, okay, we better save Carson from himself. But I'm not even talking about his general face. I'm just talking about
his general appearance.
Yeah, I'm just talking about what happens when things
aren't. His demeanor.
Yeah, demeanor is probably a better way to say it. Definitely a better way to say it. His demeanor when things aren't going well.
Yeah, it's not Tom Brady.
And he's not even Cam Ward, who who had no fear when things were going poor. I think you'll see all the fear. In fact, you'll see the Tyler Van Dyke-like fear on Carson Beck's face if things aren't going well. He'll get an early test against Notre Dame, who's breaking in a quarterback themselves. A lot of top teams who have hopes are breaking in quarterback. Speaking of another one of those teams, Austin Simmons is the lefty from Ole Miss that Julian mentioned. Doesn't have a lot of reps. Forget about it, even starts. Doesn't have those. Doesn't have reps.
Yeah. This is where I get into my, like, people are like, Arch Manning, what has he proven? And then also at the same time being like, Austin Simmons, sleeper for the Heisman. It's like, what has he done?
Yeah.
Like, it's just so, like, I have his stats up right now.
He's big, strong, athletic, and inexperienced. All those things combined. Look, the Ole Miss offense produces.
He'll throw for 3,600 yards. Yeah.
He will put up numbers. Whether he will be a great decision maker, we will find out. Whether he'll get rattled by better defenses, that's what the season will determine. If he starts and plays well enough to keep that job, he'll just put up numbers because that's what the Ole Miss offense allows you to do under Lane Kiffin. Whether he's going to be a real difference maker, that's what this season is for. I mean, you're asking me if he's going to be a stud. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's
barely, like half the SEC, it's just
he's
like,
barely played any snaps.
These guys are highly rated. I don't know if any of them can play.
Yeah, well, I imagine.
Actually, Lenore Sellers is one of the only, only high-level SEC returning starting quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, DJ Lagway gets some hype, but he wasn't the starting quarterback last year. Yeah. That went to the Texans' backup, getting it right this time, Graham Mertz.
Yeah, and looked good out there, by the way. I don't know if that's true. I just want to hype up Graham Mertz.
We'll ask Will Kunkel what he thinks at some point, I guess. But Lenore Sellers really came on in the back half of the year. He wasn't a giant game against Clemson. Clemson had a good defense, but he made enough plays. He was okay against Illinois in a game they lost, so he still has plenty to prove. I mean, the touchdown to INT ratio isn't great, but he's big, strong, and people love all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he can make plays with his feet, so he's going to be a problem, as they say.
He is gonna be a problem. Yeah, I guess him and I almost forgot before we get angry Texan calls. Garrett Nussmeier also returning.
That's the other guy who's another in that tier where I go.
Yeah,
I shrug and go. He'll put up numbers, but is it because of him?
Look, and also at some point, Texas A&M defensive backs were like, I can't believe he's still throwing us these picks.
Yeah, it's like...
that was an actual quote from, I forgot which one, but it was just like, I couldn't believe he threw that ball.
I remember. We talked about it. It was...
I can't get it out of my head. Yeah. Like, every time I see Garrett Nussmeier, like, high up on the 2026 NFL draft, like, way too early stuff, I always think of the A&M defensive back being like, I couldn't believe he threw that ball. And then... Couple drives later, he threw me another one. Like, just I can't believe the passes this guy's throwing.
And if we remember, this is the same Garrett Nussmeier who called out the environment at A&M, saying it wasn't as loud as other places.
That's not good. Don't do that.
Yeah, he said not even close to a Death Valley at LSU or in other places or the swamp. He said so. A&M was like,
didn't he lose there too? But that one's hard.
It's harder to play there, as you might imagine. So that's why he lost there. So those are some of the top quarterbacks. He mentioned Thomas Castellanos as well. He is the former Boston College quarterback who had some issues with Bill O'Brien. Imagine that. And now he is at Florida State. Julian mentioned that the checks his ass can't cash, or possibly. They got Alabama, and he pretty much said, Alabama can't hold me. It's pretty much what he said. So we will see how that plays out. That's a Florida State team coming off a awful season. They banked on a lot of players who came from power programs, but they didn't play at those programs. It was their transfer strategy. It didn't work out. The year before did work out great. So we will see. Castellanos is about 5'10", if I'm being generous, maybe 5'11". They'll run around and make plays, not allow them from the pocket. We will see how Mike Norvell tries to get his new Jordan Travis, the only quarterback he's ever won with at Florida State. We'll see if Thomas Castellanos can do anything that Jordan Travis did and kind of help Florida State bounce back. Am I looking for that to happen? No. I love more misery.
I think Thomas Castellanos can at least double the amount of wins that Florida State had last year.
So four?
At least four.
At least four. At least four. Congratulations, Thomas Castellanos. You have a believer in Sean Mitch.
Honestly, congratulations, Thomas Castellanos, and the entire 2025 Florida State Seminoles. The expectations are so low for you guys. That FSU running out there going 7-5, you're like, you know what? That's five more wins than they had last year. It's pretty good.
That's a great improvement.
Yeah, like that's pretty good.
So
And sure, you know, 2 years ago they went undefeated in the regular season, cried about not making the playoff for 14 straight months.
And did it directly affect their season? Probably. Maybe. The 2024 season? Probably.
But after that 2024 season, it's a nice little refresh of like, oh, FSU fans, I don't know if they'll actually take it like this, but, you know, at least on the outside looking in, it's like, you know what? If I was an FSU fan, I'd be like, man, just give me seven wins, dude. Like, just get, I don't need to make the playoff. I just want to be a normal, when like the normal record when a blue blood team is bad.
Like 8-4?
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
like that.
Oh, that's...
It's the ACC.
That's asking a lot.
Yeah, it's the ACC.
I know.
They do have Alabama on the schedule.
That's four times as many wins.
The Alabama and Florida on the schedule, certainly those could be losses.
L.
But it's the ACC. They might be able to find your
way.
They
lost to everyone except Cal.
That was last year. That was last year.
And whatever, like Furman or whatever.
New season, Sean. It's a new season.
I'm just saying. That's
all it takes. Hey, they won all their games the year before. So why can't they revert back?
Why can't they?
Because they don't have Jared Verse and Jordan Travis. Yeah. That's probably, to name a few.
Brain Fest. Yeah.
To name three.
Keon Coleman.
Four. Johnny Wilson, five. Yeah. You keep going. I mean, sure.
But then they transferred in a bunch of other guys, too.
Yeah.
They also transferred in guys last year, and one of them was DJU. It didn't work out.
Now it's Thomas Castellanos' turn. Good luck. But that's actually fake. Bad luck, honestly. Let's go to break. We'll close out hour one with that. If you want to join us, you're welcome. 713-780-3776. Got one more hour to go. We'll be back.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.